Tom was strangely stoic, though his head was bowed and his cheeks sunken. Observers said his spirit seemed broken, but he had to carry on for the children. He dressed respectfully for Catherine, in a black suit and tie, but his shoes were scuffed and unpolished, perhaps the sort of detail to which his wife had once attended. He and Eleanor got the children ready for their day, tying a ribbon in Mary Jane's hair and slicking down Tommy's. It did not work. Bits of it kept sticking up. Tom paid his best attention to them, letting Mary Jane fiddle with the unfamiliar suit jacket on her father's shoulders, giving Tommy a hug as his son shyly looped an arm around his father's neck. The children stood before their mother's casket, but they did not understand. They spoke to her and wondered why she did not reply. "Why doesn't Mummy talk?" asked Mary Jane innocently. Tom could not. He just could not answer. He tried, but his words were choked back by tears. He led the children silently away. That first evening without Catherine, nuns from the St. Columba parish school she had attended came to say the rosary by her side. They chanted the prayers, a song of loss and lamentation as they sent her soul on its way. They were still there as the children went through their first nightly routine without their mother and knelt to say their own prayers. Mary Jane, aged just 3, said hers in a tiny, piping voice that carried through the quiet house. As her mother lay downstairs, perhaps to her young mind merely sleeping, Mary Jane prayed as she had always learned to do. "God bless Mommy and Daddy." The night before Catherine's funeral, as necessitated by Illinois law in cases of poisoning, an inquest was held into her death. Tom and Catherine's friends attended. Grossman was there too. He branded her death a cool, calculating, money-making murder. As dramatic as Grossman's declaration was, it was Tom's testimony which was most powerful due to his raw emotion. The inquest was held the day after Catherine died. He was described as a weary little man with grey hair, shaken with grief. But no matter how shaken he was, he had to testify at the inquest. He spoke with great difficulty and choked up when he described his wife's death, said a witness. His breathing became greatly laboured, and further questioning was cut short. He left the stand in tears. The jury of 6 men stayed silent throughout, as not only Tom but also Dr. Dunn and Dr. Loeffler gave evidence. The jury was instructed by the coroner that they had only to find the cause of death, and that it was not their province to fix the responsibility for Mrs. Donahue's demise. But they did, anyway. "We, the jury, find that Catherine Donahue died of radium poisoning, absorbed while she was employed at an industrial plant in Ottawa." At Grossman's suggestion, the name of the Radium Dial Company was added to the formal verdict. "It's the only industrial plant Mrs. Donahue ever worked in," he said sharply. With the jury's verdict in, Catherine's death certificate was formally signed. Was death in any way related to occupation of deceased? Yes. End of CD 12.